morning. All right, morning, everyone. Today's daf in Chulin. We're supposed to be on Sadi Beis. We're on Sadi Aleph. We're towards the top of the Amud. We started getting Asher. We started getting Asher over Shabbos. And we are now into the seventh parak of Chulin. And the first topic of discussion, which we pretty much finished up, was the topic of Kachim, meaning that there's an issur of getting Asher by Kachim. Gemara spent a considerable amount of time trying to figure out what exactly the chiddush of the Mishnah is. Obviously, there's going to be the issur of getting Asher by Kachim. You're a Mekadosh an animal, you sanctify an animal as a carbon. The issur of getting Asher doesn't go away. And so what the Gemara did is give a couple of scenarios where the Mishnah is presenting for us a chiddush. That is what we did yesterday. What we also did yesterday was another sugya, second sugya of the Perek, which is the sugya of which gid is it? Is it the right gid or is it both gidim? So the Mishnah's opinion, our Mishnah's opinion, is that it's both gidim. It's both the right and the left. There's an issur d'oraisa, and seemingly the simple pshat in the Mishnah, both are going to incur malchus. In other words, you get lashes for both. If you eat from either the right or the left gid anasha, it doesn't make a difference. Then the Gemara presented to us a b'raisa, and the b'raisa presented the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's only one of the two. That's what he says first. First thing he says, it's only one of the two. And then he says, and which one? So then he says, I think it's the right one. To quote the Gemara's Lashon, hadas machras. Makes sense. Right? It's logical that it should be the right one. Now the Gemara asked the question, now what does Rabbi Yehuda mean by that? So there are two options. Either number one, he means it's more than just logical. It's correct, meaning it is the right one. I know definitively it's the right one. And what do you mean when he said the words the das machras? So the Gemara says das Torah, meaning this is really it's the Torah's opinion. Okay, still a strange way to express it, meaning you could just simply say it's the right one. Okay, but that's one possibility. Or a second possibility is no. In other words, he really is doing a little bit of guesswork, meaning he's not 100% sure. He has a Kabbalah, he has a tradition, it's only one of the two. And if it's only left for him to figure out, he thinks it's the right one, but he's not saying it definitively. Okay? And so it's obviously a big difference in terms of how we're going to understand Rav Yehuda. Either he's saying mi vadai, that it's the right one, or it's mi suffik, or right, probably the right one, but I'm not sure. So what we are in the middle of doing right now is trying to ascertain, what did Rav Yehuda mean by that? Did he mean definitively, or did he mean it via suffik? So we quoted a Brisa yesterday, and the Gemara, the Brisa seems pretty clear that it's that it was a suffik, and the Gemara gave a couple of scenarios of how it could be that Rav Yehuda holds that it's vaday. We're on the top of Tzadi Aleph, Amud Aleph, and we continue on this discussion. Okay, so the topic is exactly this. What did Rav Yehuda mean? Tashma. Achum izekazayif mizekazayif sofik shmonim. If I ate from this one a kazayif and from this one a kazayif, so I'm going to get 80 sets of lashes. Mizekazayif, Rashi writes, Mishel yamin and Mishel small. Right? I ate a little bit from the right side, a little bit from the left side. You know, I want to see if the left tastes any better than the right. And the Tanakhama says you're going to get 80 sets of lashes, meaning you're going to, it's two sets of lashes, I should say. It's 80 lashes total, it's two sets of lashes. So the Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no suffik al arbayim. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you only get one set of lashes, it's only 40. Okay, good. So now you already know where we're going with this discussion. Because if Rav Yehuda is saying definitively it's the right one, yeah, you understand. Right. But if he's saying it only misafek, then you don't understand. Meaning, yes, it's true. As he concludes eating both of them, he has eaten one. In other words, if we don't even know, even if we don't know which one is the correct one, but he ate both, right? But we also have to put on our legal hats, which is that in order for someone to get malchus, you need a hasra, you need a warning. Wouldn't two witnesses have to come over to you and say to you, you know, you're not allowed to do that. And if you do that, you're going to get punished. But even the witnesses themselves don't know for sure which one it is. And in other words, assuming these witnesses are following the opinion of Rav Yehuda, meaning the witnesses are going to come over and say, I think it's the right one, I'm not sure. And then he eats the left one. Oh, you know, that might be it also. I'm not sure. So this falls under the category of what we call Hasrat Safik, right? And we know that as a rule, the warning that has to come has to be a definitive warning. If it's not a definitive warning, it doesn't satisfy the requirement of a warning. And therefore, there's no punishment. And so the Gemara now asks the obvious question. So if you're saying that Rav Yehuda holds, I know bivadaus, I know exactly which one it is. So then you understand the braisa. You're going to get malchus because the witnesses are able to warn. Don't eat that one. That's the right one. That's the one the Torah prohibits. However, Iya marks the fukim misafke lay happy lay hasra safik v'shamin lir Rabbi Yehuda damar hasra safik lo shme hasra. And the Gemara says that, look, and if I don't know, so then the warning is that's issued is a hasra safik. It's a warning of doubt. Thank you. It's a warning of doubt, and so consequently, the Gemara says that you shouldn't get malchus. And I also know that Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that hasra safik is not considered hasra. How do I know this? Now you should be saying to yourself, this sounds awfully familiar, huh? Correct. In other words, correct. By the end of the day, he'll have eaten egg in a nasha. But the warning has to be definitive. In other words, it's a din in hasra. You're right. He's going to violate the isser. But in order to get punishment, you have to have hasra. And the hasra is not coming out. Mitzad vaday. Now, this should all sound familiar because we just did this a couple days ago. The Tanya will enter the Brisa. Right? The young man who had two fathers. Okay? And he hits, remember, how did that happen? Right? He didn't know. In other words, obviously only has one father. But mother, what happened is mother did not wait the requisite 3 months before she got remarried. She married her second husband after 2 months waiting time. Then 7 months later, out comes a baby. And she doesn't, and we don't know who paternity is. We could be the first father, could be the first husband, could be the second husband. And so what does he do? Right? He hits both of them. And we understand, by the way, in other words, a person raised in this kind of environment, you know, not justifying, but certainly can understand. So, or he's mekalal this one and this one. So, he hits them both at the same time. So, he's going to be chayev. Now, chayev over here, by the way, means capital punishment, meaning this is a capital crime to hit or curse one's parent. So, Rav Yehuda says no. Meaning, if he does at the same time, so then yes, because the person standing there watching the person do it say, look, I know definitively that if you hit both of them at the same time, one of them is going to be your father. You can't do that. But, azach or zeh potter, but if it's one after the other, so then how the warning is going to be issued? You know, he may be your father, I'm not sure. But if he is, you're not allowed to hit him. Now, that's not a hasra, that's not a warning. Warning has to be definitive in nature. So you see from this brisa that Rav Yehuda does not subscribe to the principle of hasarat safik. I mean, it's clear. It's clear from the brisa that if the warning that's being issued is a safik, so therefore it's not a hasra. So now going back to our case, you eat the gid anasha. Right gid anasha, left gid anasha. And so now the person standing there, according to Rav Yehuda, what is he issuing? He's issuing a hasra that's a safik. He doesn't know.
So maybe he ate them together.
Okay, that could be. That could be. It says Achol Mizek Hazayis Umizek Hazayis. It could be. So the Gemara says I tana Savalaki Idach Tana the Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says yeah, but even that meaning even a hasra suffix, whether that is or isn't a hasra, is subject to a debate. And not only is it subject to a debate, it's even a subject to a debate within Rav Yehuda. There is an opinion within Rav Yehuda who holds that Hasra Safik is in fact considered Hasra. The Amar, Hasra Safik Shema Hasra, how do I know this? The Tanya. And again, all this should sound familiar. We've been here not that long ago. Lo Sosir Mimenuad Boker. We know that there's an Issur in the Torah of Nosar. You have a carbon that you're supposed to eat. You're supposed to eat the entire carbon. You're not to leave any of the carbon over. And if you do, Lo Sosir Mimenuad Boker, right, vehanosar mimeno baboker ba eish tisrofu. I feel like I got most of the pasuk right. Okay, and if you leave any of it over, so ba eish tisrofu, you have to burn in fire. So ba kasul litenasa achalosa asay. So what do you have over here? Classic. You have over here an asay, an alosa asay followed by an asay, meaning the Torah says don't leave it over, and if you do, so you burn it the next morning. Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says, why? So that's to tell you that you're not going to get Malkus. Meaning that for sure, the Isser of Nosar, you're not going to get Malkus. Why are you not going to get Malkus? So Rav Yehuda says, the reason why you're not going to get Malkus is because it's a lav hanitak la'aseh. Because it's a lav that can be remedied by an aseh. Rav Yaakov Amar, lo min Hashem huzeh. So Rav Yaakov says, no, that's not the reason why. Ela mishum dehavlei, I'm sorry, lav she'en bo ma'aseh, v'chol lav she'en bo ma'aseh, lo kan lav. No, because it's an inaction. You don't get malchus for an inaction. You have to violate nisa in the Torah where an action is involved, like lo sachsam shor bedisho, right? Don't muzzle your ox while it's threshing or shaving or any lav in the Torah that requires an action. So shaving with a razor, by the way. So the she'en bo maisa ein lo kan lav. So, but what do you see from Rabbi Yehuda? From Rabbi Yehuda, he gave the reason of lav enitak laaseh. The Gemara over here wonders, well, the Gemara doesn't say all this, but in other words, what's the point the Gemara is making is that, what about the Hasra? Meaning, you see somebody about to leave over Nosar. How's that warning going to go? You know, don't leave it over. So the guy says, what do you mean don't leave it over? How do you know? How do you know what I'm going to do? Meaning, what you're saying to me is, perhaps you're going to leave it over. Meaning the warning that's coming is the Hasrat Sofik. And meanwhile, Rabbi Yehuda says, why does he get a pass on Malkus? Because it's a lav hanitak laaseh. Just simply say Hasrat Sofik. Clearly the author of this Rabbi Yehuda, meaning whoever's presenting to us this Rabbi Yehuda, clearly is working with the assumption that that Hasrat Sofik is considered a Hasra. Tashma. Okay, back to the drawing board. Again, the issue is, Rav Yehuda says that it's the right one, hadas machra'as. I think it's the right one. So what is he saying? Definitively or as out of possibility? Achal beis gidna mi beis erechos mi beis behemos. So here in this brisa / tosefta, so we'll do the following. This guy is going to eat two gidanashes. Each one come from different animals. So it's no longer right left. It's now gidanashe of animal A, gidanashe of animal B. Beis gidim, beis erechos, mi beis behemos. Sofik pay. So the Tanakhama says he's going to get 80 lashes, i.e. two sets of malchus. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no sofik ella arba'im. Now Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're only going to get 40. Now, mi dekam beis erechos, mi beis behemos, pshita tatavar le'isura. Now, the fact of the matter is, he says, two gidanashes from two animals. We're going to assume that both of them were asur. Okay. So the Rav Yehuda itzrich, pshita to tavai liyisura, ula Rav Yehuda itzrich. Now, from the Tanakhama standpoint, not much of a chiddush. Meaning, you violate two isurim. Let's say each one got its own warning. Okay, fine. But for Rav Yehuda, right, the whole chiddush over here is on behalf of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says you're going to get a set of lashes. Now, you're getting a set of lashes, but wait a second. In other words, what is Rav Yehuda holding that he knows for sure? Or is Rav Yehuda saying it's a suffix? Shma mina mifsha pshita le shma mina. So you can only talk about getting lashes if you know definitively you violate an isser. If it's only a suffix whether you violate an isser, so you're not going to get malchus. It's clear that you're going to get that according to Rav Yehuda, mifsha pshita le, it's obvious. So now the Gemara says, okay. So the Gemara asks now the obvious question. So I don't understand. So then you should get 80 lashes, meaning two sets. So the Gemara says what he recorded earlier as well. You ate the two, but not each one of them had a kezias. One of them had a kezias, one of them had less than a kezias. The Tanya. And Rav Yehuda says, well, let's first start off with the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says you're going to get malchus if it doesn't have a kezias. So how do we understand that? So we explained this before. It's not the first time we saw this. We explained earlier that if you eat a gid and asha and you eat the entire gid, even though the total volume of the gid and asha may not be kezias, but what is it? A birya. It's an independent entity. And we discussed, like eating an ant, right? Or eating any bug, right? It's a small little creature. It's certainly not a kezias. It's certainly not the volume of an olive. But you not only violate Isser in the Torah, but an Isser in the Torah, which, if due process was given, you're going to get Malkus. Why? Because it's a birya. It's an independent entity. It has chashivas in of itself. So the Tanakhama over here says, same thing with the Gedanasha. Right? This is a harder argument to make. It's a bigger chiddush. Even the Gedanasha. If you eat an entire Gedanasha, so that even though the volume of it is not a kezias, but still it's a davar chashiv, and therefore you're going to get malchus. What about Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda says no. Meaning, I agree with the basic concept of birya, but not its application to the gidanasha. Gidanasha is part of an animal. You don't look at the gidanasha as an entity of itself. And so therefore, when are you violating the isra of eating gidanasha? Only when you eat a volume of a kezias.
So is Rav Yehuda looking at it as it being the left side, not the right side? Would you agree that it be the right side?
Rav Yehuda for sure says it's the right side. That's on that. Let's even assume it's from the right side. The issue in this brisa, why does Rav Yehuda only give 40 and not 80? Because one of the two of them is not a volume of a kezias. Okay. Vitaima mai. Now that we're here, okay, have almost an amud of Gemara to get to here, but now that we're here, we're now of the opinion that Rav Yehuda is saying definitively that the right one is the one that's Oster, not the left, and he's not even saying a misafik. He's saying it definitively.
How does he get it?
That's the Gemara's next question. So the Gemara says, "V'taima mai." So how does he get to that? So Amar Rava, Amar Kra, Hayarech, the Yarech. Okay, and no offense to lefties in the room, none, but Hayarech is Hameyumenes Shebiyarech, the more dominant of the thighs. In other words, the hay is a hay ayidiyah. It's a definitive article, meaning it's the thigh. So when I say I'm going to throw with my arm, right, the arm, I'm talking about my right arm. My right arm is a definitive one. Okay, don't ask me if the animal's a lefty. the right is considered the dominant. What's the percentage? What's the percentage of population that's right-handed? I think it's, 80? I've heard like Michael. I've heard in the 90s, in the high 90s. So, okay, crack research team over here. I do know a lot of lefties. I mean, you see, you know, look at tefillin. You'll see a lot of people putting tefillin on the right hand. That's what I think. Also, I think the number is really low. So anyway, but the right is the dominant. So hayarech hamiyumenes shebiyarech v'rabanan, how would the pashi yisur bekula yarech lafuchi chitzon de lo? So the Gemara says, and what's the chachamim going to say? Because obviously the chachamim hold that both thighs are aser, thighs. Both sciatic nerves are aser, both the right and the left. So what are they going to do with hayarech, the hay, the article? So in other words, no, that only helps us identify which nerve it is. Again, there's the inner there's the inner and there's the outer. The inner, that's clear. It's the one that actually runs into the thigh and runs through the thigh. The outer one, you take a look at the picture book, and he'll give you a whole host of positions and opinions in terms of what the outer nerve is. But the inner one, for sure, is the one that is prohibited. And not only just prohibited, but prohibited with Malkus to boot. So who de pashi sur bekula yerech lafuki chitzon dolo. Rav Yehuda ben Levi amar makra behav kohimol. Other sources for Rav Yehuda. How do I know, according to Rav Yehuda, that's the right, not the left? Behav kohimol. Because we're going to look at the basis of the Isser. Where does the Isser of Gidonasha come from? So it's one of the more fascinating Isserim in the Torah. Because the Isser is actually generated based on a story. And not just a story, but a story of Yaakov Avinu fighting with the Malach. And so what we're going to, and we know that because Yaakov's Gidonasha was damaged during the fight, so we know that the Gidonasha is going to be asa for all generations. Which Gid of Yaakov Avinu was dislocated? So what we're actually going to do now, it's fascinating. What we're going to do now is we're going to try to envision, we're going to try to recap the fight. How did that fight go? Okay. The Behayav Koamoka Adam Shechovik is Chaver Viado Magasa Kafiamino. So the Gemara assumes that we're not in boxing mode, we're in wrestling mode. Okay. And we're going to assume that the Malach's arm, in other words, in wrestling, you're very close, so the arm goes all the way around. So, and you assume it's the right, because the right one is the stronger one, so it goes all the way around, so it's hitting Yaakov's right thigh. That's assuming, right, correct, assuming the Ramach's right-handed. I happen to...
No, the way around. The Ramach's right-handed, then he's grabbing...
No,
No, right, he's all the way around. The Ramach's arm is all the way around with his right hand. No, as a fact, by the way, I know statistically Malachim are all 100% right-handed.
Right-handed?
Right, not right. Did you get my number over for...
10%.
10%?
10%.
That's according to Wikipedia.
Okay. What can I tell you?
But there's a
I agree with
in
you.
Africa where it's 27%.
Are you joking about that?
What's that? I was joking about that. Correct. Correct. I know. Magas l'kafi minosha chaver. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni Amar ka'ovi kochavim nidmalav. Okay. What the Gemara is now going to do is give us other explanations in terms of how we know that the Malach was attacking Yaakov's right thigh and not his left thigh. So one explanation which we just went through in the Gemara is that his arm was all the way around. The Gemara is going to suggest another explanation. Ka'ove kochavim nidmelo. Well, when Yaakov faced the Malach, the first thing that he appeared to him as, meaning the Malach, was an ove kochavim. And Amar Mar Yisrael shenitapalo ove kochavim baderech toflo liyimino. Now you have somebody who is unseemly, somebody who is seems to be a possible threat. So keep him on your right side. Okay, keep him on your right side, so that if you need to grab him, so you have your dominant right hand ready, prepared for action. So if that's true, so now you understand. So Yaakov Avinu had the Malach on his right side, ready for action, and then the Malach went for Yaakov and hit Yaakov in the right thigh. Okay, another possibility. Gemara gives another one. Yeah, correct.
Right?
I the Gemara is assuming that. Rashmo Baracha Kame Derav Papa Mishme Derava Bar Ula Amar Ketamar Chacham Nidmelo. This Malach that came over to him looked more like a Tamar Chacham. Okay, he's a Malach, so they looked more like a Tamar Chacham. Damar Mar Hamalach Limin Rabo Harei Zabur. You're not allowed to walk to the right of your Rebbe. In other words, when you're walking alongside with a Rebbe, you should position yourself where you're to the left of your Rebbe. So this Malach who appeared like a Talmud Chacham, Yaakov Avinu, wanted to keep proper protocol, proper procedure. So he was walking on the left side of the Malach, which means that his right side was open to the Malach. And then the Malach went forward and fine. V'arabanan me'achari asei unashu b'tarvayu. So, and again, in this structure of understanding, so we gave a lot of good explanations for Rav Yehuda. What's the Chachamim going to say in regard to all this? So the Gemara says in defense of the Chachamim that Me'achore Asa, the Malach came from behind Yaakov, sneak attack, V'nashya B'tarvayhu, and dislocated both sides of Yaakov. So it was a double dislocation. V'rabbanan ha'be'afko imam ma'idar shibe. Now, from the Chachamim standpoint, and here we go now into the world of Agadita, right, where the Gemara now is going to explain a number of things that happened during the wrestling match between Yaakov and the Malach, and we're going to also get treated to a lot of Agadita, a lot of drashas in terms of the life of Yaakov. So the Gemara says, what does the Chachamim do behayav koimo? And we need a drasha for the Chachamim, because the Chachamim do not agree with Rav Yehuda. It wasn't just the right thigh, it was both thighs. So according to Rav Yehuda, Hayav Koimo is coming to teach us that with the right hand he wrapped him around and him in the right thigh. But what does the Chachamim do with the Pasuk? The fight was so intense that the dust rose from the fight, and the dust went all the way up to Kisei HaKavod. Ksiv HaKa Behav Kawimo. Uksiv HaSam, and the Pasuk in Nachum says, the Anan Avak Raglav. The cloud was Avak Raglav, created by the dust of his feet. And the Pasuk in Nachum, the Gemara is relating to the fight between Yaakov and the Malach. Amar Rav Yishua ben Levi, Lama Nikra Shmo Gid HaNasha, Shenasha Mimkamo V'Allah. They get anasha because noshe. Noshe means they moved. Dislocation. It dislocated from the place and it went up. V'cheinu omer, nashtag v'rasam hayula nashim. Their gvura, their strength was taken away, was dislocated. Hayula nashim, they were like women. Amar Rav Yosi, Rebbe Chinen, amai dichsiv, davar shalach b'Yaakov and nafal b'Yisrael. Something was sent out, a matter was sent out from Yaakov and fell to all of Yisrael. What is this pasuk in Yeshayahu making reference to? Davar shalach b'Yaakov is a get anasha. The thing that occurred to Yaakov Avinu was a get anasha. V'nafal b'Yisrael, shepashat Yisrael b'chol Yisrael. And as a result of what happened to Yaakov, so now we have an Isser, it's called get anasha. V'amar Rav Yosi, b'Rabbi Chanina ma'idichsi v'tavach tavach v'achein. Okay. The Gemara goes to the story of Yosef and his brothers.
What's the connection to this all?
Baal Memra, the author of the statement.
Oh, I see. So it's
right?
Another saying
of Rav Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Okay. Tvoach tavach v'hachein. Yosef prepares a meal for his brothers. He tells his butchers, shecht, and prepare. Right? Tvoach tavach, shecht, v'hachein, and prepare. So parlem beis hashchita v'hachein, tol giran asher b'fneim. And so, shechting, that we know. He was porei the beis hashchita. The Rashi, you want an exciting Rashi? Look at Rashi right here. Parlehem beis hashchita. It's five lines from the bottom. Shelo yom rubasar anechira ani ochel lefi shebnei Yaakov shomrei mitzvot hayu de'alfa pi shelo natna Torah mekubalin hayu me'avoseihem. Right? On the issue, which is such a big issue. Did the avos keep the Torah? Did the avos not keep the Torah? Torah wasn't given yet. Torah was not going to be given until Sinai. Some 200-300 years later. So on the issue, so Rashi over here says, for sure they kept the Torah. That explains our Gemara over here. Our Gemara over here says that Yosef presented the meat to his brothers, and while presenting the meat to his brothers, he said, look, I shecht. Right? He knew that the Bnei Yaakov were shomer mitzvos, and even though the Torah wasn't given from their forefathers. Yeah. It only makes you wonder, by the way, again, how did the brothers not know who this viceroy was? Right. When all of a sudden he's presenting them meat, and he says, oh, by the way, I know about this shechita.
Can we get from this that when Yosef asked his people to the shechita, they were supposedly doing Avodah Zarah. So is it acceptable that somebody did Avodah Zarah?
Right, again, all this is before Sinai. So the amount of halachic conclusions that you can walk away from this is very limited. And on top of that, you could also theorize, and it's just a theory, that it was the sons who did the shechita.
No, but for the brothers to eat, they didn't know.
Okay, right. Again. For you and me living nowadays, like, you know, we wouldn't, but you know, in this pre-Sinai world, you know, things are a little more flexible. V'achein parlam beis hashchita v'achein. Now the other part of it is v'achein, and he tells his attendants, you know, my brothers can't eat the gitanasha. Okay, so you got to take it out. Okay, serve the back end of the animal, right? We don't get that. We nowadays we don't enjoy the back end of the animal.
Ah,
who is the quote? Okay, all right. So, Kamanda Amar Gidon Asher Nesal of Neinoch. Now, Gemara walks away with an interesting conclusion, and the Gemara says, "Oh, you know what? It must be of the opinion that the Gidon Asher is Aser to Bnei Noach." Now, it's a funny conclusion. Meaning, Yaakov, again, I keep making that mistake, Yosef takes out the Gidon Asher, tells his brothers, don't worry, we took out the Gidon Asher, and the Gemara says, and you know what you learn from here? That the Gidon Asher must be Aster to everybody. It's a universal Isser. Now, we mentioned this already once before in the 7th Perek. We're going to learn the Mishnah shortly enough, where there's an opinion that the Gidon Asher is Aster for everybody, not just Jews, but for the entire global community. Tosas over here raises the obvious issue. Wait a second, I don't understand. The shechting, so why did he shecht? Because it was for his brothers. So can't you just make a simple argument that the removal of the Gidon Asher was for his brothers? And not because it's a universal Isser, but simply because he was preparing the animal for his brothers. Right. Tosas raises this as an issue. Tosfo, second to last Tosas on the page. So, Kaman Dama Gidon Asher Nesal of Neinoch Vim Tama Dilma Lo Nesar Ve'afilo Hachi Hayim Mekaimen Kamo Shechita De Kamele Parlam Beis Hashechita. Tosfos asks the obvious question. Just simply say that he was preparing for his brothers, and it's because of that he didn't, that he had them remove the Gidon Asher. Not because it's a universal Isser. V'yei Shlomer, so Tosfos suggests. Now, you have to say something, because the Gemara is straightforward. Oh, you see from here, that's universal. So Tosfos says, number one, it may come from the word v'hachein. V'hachein means prepare it. Meaning, before you do this, nobody can eat it. So the word v'hachein is more of an expression of You can't eat it without doing this. Meaning, tavoach, tavach. All right, shechita. Yeah, no.
It was right.
You can shecht, you cannot shecht. Okay, whatever. But vahachain means you must, this is an absolute. You must remove the girnasha. If you don't remove the girnasha, nobody can eat it. This is before Vayigash. This is when they first come.
And also, they're the only ones in Egypt that are eating meat too. Is that true?
I don't know. Right. Right. And also, Atosus gives another suggestion. Inami parlohu beis hashchita haynu nechirsha and stavala nechira. This is harder to understand, but Atosus makes a suggestion that maybe when it says Beis Hashchita, it actually means Nechira, meaning they didn't shech the animal, they were nochir, right? They just killed the animal. Difficult, pshat in the Gemara. Very difficult, because then if that's the case, then what's the point of the Gemara telling us that they killed the animal? Of course they killed the animal. What, they were thought as Zevar Menachai? Okay. Going on in the Gemara. Vayivaser, four lines from the bottom of the Yom, we're on Sadi Aleph Amid Aleph towards the bottom. Vayivaser Yaakov Levado. Yaakov remained by himself. We're back at the fight. So we talked about how the dust went up to the Kisei HaKavod. Yaakov remained alone. This is right before the fight. Sorry. Now, why did Yaakov go back? Meaning, he was walking with his family. So how did he become alone? So, well, we all know this. Rashi says it's on Chumash. We're all familiar. He left a little bit of his... Small jars. Pachim Kitanim, less small jars on the other side, and he had to go back and get the small jars. Now, there was risk involved in going back and getting the small jars, and the Gemara tells us, okay, Yaakov took that risk, because when it comes to tzaddikim, they love their money. Now, that sounds like a strange statement, right? Tzaddikim love their money. Doesn't sound like a tzaddik. If he loves his money, it sounds very superficial. The Gemara says, no. It has to do with sitkus. It has everything to do with sitkus. Because if you're not careful about your money, Gemara teaches us a very common sense lesson in life. If you're not careful about your money and you're frivolous about your money and you lose your money, so then you're going to need money and you might go to extremes in order to get money. So if you preserve your money, and preservation of money is by paying careful attention to your money, so then you won't ever need to put yourself in any type of compromised position in order to get the money, including Gezel. Good. Vayeyav eki shimo adalos ha-shachar, they fought until the morning. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak mikana tamachachem, shelo yetzei yechidi balayla. The Gemara now will make a statement and develop the statement for a little bit of time. Tamachachem should not go out alone at night. Now, the way Rashi understands it from our Gemara over here, we actually learned that from Yaakov. Meaning, Yaakov made a mistake. He went out alone at night. We know he was out at night because they wrestled until Alos HaShachar. So that means that he was out at night. And the Tam HaChachim should not go out at night. Shaharei Rashi, last Rashi on the page, Shaharei Yaakov Nishar Yechidi V'Huzak. Yaakov went out alone at night and he was damaged. Why Tam HaChachim? So that may help us understand the next bit of Gemara because, right, in other words, from this alone, you're absolutely correct. It's not limited to a Tam HaChachim, but the Gemara will develop this idea and we're going to present another suggestion as to why Tam HaChachim should not go out at night. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana Amar Mehacha, Hinehu Zoreh Es Goren HaSa'orin. Okay, we're by Boaz. Boaz did not go out alone at night. He was winnowing. He was winnowing in the barley silo. Rashi. The top Rashi on the page. Rashi, what's that? Right, winnowing. Right, okay, we're fine. Dechziv ayi b'shachol amar la di'i sha'achar shigmor lezaros lo yavo leveso lishkov sheginayhu l'tamidei chacham amatzeis balayla v'yishkav b'garmen. So, right, Naomi had inside information. And her insight, says this is the way Rashi understands it. And what was Naomi's inside information? I know that my cousin Boaz, I know that once he's winnowing and it gets dark, he's not walking home. Right? He's not going to be walking home. So it is, Rashi says, Genai l'tamid chachamim. It's not becoming of a tamid chacham to walk home at night. Okay? From this Rashi, it seems that the issue is not just an issue of being damaged, right? Rashi doesn't say damage over here. Rashi says genai, right? Why? Because... It's unseemly. Correct. Absolutely correct. It's unseemly. Unseemly for a Talmid Chacham to be just, 11, 12 o'clock, right? There's a good expression. Nothing good can happen after, after 1 o'clock in the morning. Nothing good. So, in other words, it's just... Right. Okay, except for Slich. Oh, we don't go out alone. So anyway, so that's the... That's another source. The Gemara develops other sources for this idea as well. Rabbi Abba, Amar Miach, Veyeshkem Avram Baboker, Veyachav Oshes, Es Asono. So, right? He waits until the morning before he goes out. Rabbanan Amar Miach, Lechna Re'eh Shalom, Achicha Ve'et Shalom. And Yosef was sent, and Lechna Re'eh Et Shalom Achicha. I want you to see how your brothers are doing. Well, you can't see what's going on at night, so it's got to be during the day. Rav Amar Mehacha V'Yizrach Lo HaShemesh. Rav says over here, V'Yizrach Lo HaShemesh, the sun rose. Am Rabbi Akiva Shaltis Rabbi Gamliel Rabbi Yeshua Be'itlishol Ima'um Shahalchu Likach Behema Lemishta Benosha Rabbi Gamliel. They were making a simcha, a wedding for the son of Rabbi Gamliel. And Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva were all in the marketplace buying meat for the wedding. Now what are they talking about? You know what they're going to talk about. They're going to talk about Torah. So, Ksiva Yizrach lo Shemesh, Vechi Shemesh lo Levad Zarcha. Now, the sun rose for Yaakov. Sun didn't just rise for Yaakov. Sun rose for everybody, right? You don't wake up in the morning and say, wow, the sun rose just for me. You understand it rose for everybody else as well, who's in your time zone. Va'alo l'chol alam Zarcha, Rav Yizrach Shemesh haba ba'avuro Zarcha. I'm sorry, Shemesh haba ba'avuro Zarcha ba'avuro. So the Gemara says, no, it did rise that particular morning for Yaakov. Sun came up early that morning for Yaakov. Why? Because there was another event in Yaakov's life where the sun had set early for Yaakov. So, right? So we need a balance. In other words, if the sun's going to set early for Yaakov, sun's got to rise early for Yaakov as well. Right? The balance in the world. And the Gemara says, when did the sun set early for Yaakov? So the Gemara tells us the background. So he set off. Yaakov left Beersheba. He went to Haran. Now, Haran is outside of Israel. And on his way to Haran, he lied in that place. That place meaning Yerushalayim. So he got all the way to Haran and he said, oh my gosh, I passed Yerushalayim and I didn't daven there. And that's terrible. So he does an about face. He's all the way out in Haran and he turns around to go back to Yerushalayim. And he had Tfitzas HaDerech. Kadosh Baruch Hu helped him and supported him in terms of getting back to Yerushalayim. He got to Yerushalayim back that very day. Now, so he's in Yerushalayim, he's davening Yerushalayim, and now he wants to go back to Haran, right? Because that's where he was set off to go anyway. I'm a Kadosh Baruch Hu tzadik zebai lebeis maloni v'yipater below lina. So this tzadik comes to my malon, my house, Yerushalayim, beis hamikdash, and what? I'm not going to let him sleep overnight.
Well, you're not allowed to sleep in the beis hamikdash.
Correct, but this is. All before. So Miyad Ba Hashemesh, and now the sun sets, meaning that there was more time, and Yaakov did have ample time to leave. Sun sets early. Yaakov has no choice but to stay in Yerushalayim. One of the more famous Gemaras, Rashi brings it down, and taught to every young boy and young girl in yeshiva. So each one of them was clamoring to become the stone in which Yaakov Avinu's head would rest, and we're all familiar with Nivlu Be'echad. They all get absorbed into one, and so Yaakov rests on all of them. Obviously, there is depth and profoundness to this Gemara, in which I'm unable to convey, but certainly this is we're well into the world of Agadot over here. And he dreamt as he went to bed, and there was a ladder in his dream. This is the beginning of Parshas Vayetze. So, Tanakama Rachosho Sulam, how wide was the ladder? Now, not tall, but how wide was the ladder? Shmonas Alaf in Parsos. It was 8,000 Parsos. A Parsa is about 3 to 4 kilometers, 8,000 of them.
Not 300.
Because the Gemara over here is actual, again, this is in a dream. But still, the Gemara over here is literal.
Because it's accurate.
Dichsiv, this is accurate. Dichsiv, he's right. Because there are angels going up and down. Bo olim, I'm sorry. Olim v'yordim bo. Olim shnayim v'yordim shnayim. So going up again, plural. We always assume smallest number. So two going up, two going down, and so it's a 4-lane highway. Okay, this ladder, and each lane is made up by one malach. So all we have to know is how wide is a malach. So v'chi pagu b'hadi adad de'avlo arba uksiv be'im b'malach v'giviyaso k'tashish. We know based on the pasuk in Daniel, right? Second half of Sefer Daniel, difficult book in Navi. So it's all about dreams and all about the interpretations of dreams. So v'giviyaso k'tashish, the width of the body of a malach is like Tarshish. Tarshish is a river. Aniyah ba'at Tarshish, Rashi quotes a pasuk in Yonah. Okay, we'll be seeing that shortly enough. Ugemiri did Tarshish trei alfei parsei havu. Now we have a tradition that Tarshish was 2,000 parsas wide, right? Diameter, I'm guessing. So each malach was 2,000 parsas wide. We know that it was a 4-lane highway, this ladder. So therefore, 2 times 4 is 8,000. Tana Olin. Yeah. Tana Olin umistaklam b'diyukun oshamala v'yardam umistaklam b'diyukun oshamata. And what were the malachim doing? Comparing the face of Yaakov as they see him on this earth and the face of Yaakov lamala. When we say lamala, what do we mean? Kisei HaKavod. Yaakov's face was imprinted on the Kisei HaKavod. Ba'u l'sikune. They actually wanted to hurt Yaakov. There is a Rashi over here. Fascinating Rashi. A lot of good Rashis today. So there is a Rashi. Machmas kina. They were jealous of Yaakov. Okay? I've heard this so many times from so many different sources. I don't know. I don't have a particular source for this. What was their jealousy? So because the face of Yaakov on this earth looked exactly like the face of Yaakov on the Kisei HaKavod, meaning he met his potential. Right? Most of us in this world don't meet our potential, right? Up in Shemayim, we have a picture of what we would look like had we met our potential, and right, it's usually not a match, and by Yaakov Avinu was a perfect match. Miyad v'hineh Hashem mitzav alav, and that's why, now you understand the next part of the pasuk, Hashem mitzav alav, Kadosh Baruch Hu was standing over Yaakov. What was that all about? So the Gemara says, now you understand the context of this discussion, because the Malachim actually wanted to hurt Yaakov. It's like a father who fans his son. Meaning that's what Akash Baruch Hu was to Yaakov as the Malachim were trying to hurt him. Akash Baruch Hu was standing fanning Yaakov, meaning so that the Malachim would not hurt him. Right. For all the times that we say Malachim don't, we find the Malachim do. Kashbaruch folded all of Eretz Yisrael, okay, like a piece of paper, and placed it all under the feet of Yaakov. Why? So that now Yaakov was standing on the land, it gave an imprint to Eretz Yisrael, so that we would have an easier time conquering the land of Israel. Yaakov says, okay, the Malach says, right, and the Gemara is going to point out, that wasn't so clear, as I just messed up. Right, the Malach said, Shalcheni, time for me to go, ki Allah shachar, because it's morning. Amalo ganavata okav yususata shemisyar min ha-shachar. So Yaakov says, well, what do you do for a living? Meaning, are you a thief? Are you a kidnapper? right, the sun rises and you got to run. So, which is funny because the entire night they were fighting. So, like, Yaakov didn't know what he was by profession. So, Amalo Malach Ani Umiyam Shinevresi Lo Igiyaz Mani Lo Mashira Ad Achshav. So the Malach says, well, look, meaning this was my time to shine. This was my time to say Shira. I didn't have an opportunity until now. Now I can say Shira, which means now I got to go. Got to go upstairs and I got to go say Shira. Three groups of malachim say Shira. Bechol yom achas omeres kadosh. One malach says the words kadosh. The achas omeres kadosh. A second malach says kadosh. The achas omeres kadosh Hashem Tzvakos. Holy is Hashem Tzvakos. Now you should be saying to yourself, this all sounds familiar. Yeah, it does. This is what we call Kedusha. Now we call this Kedusha, please understand that it's Psukim. Psukim in Yeshayahu. Six parak, I believe. Okay, when do we say this? Haftorah, Stuart? I know I put you on the spot. Parshas Yisro. There's a reason why I put you on the spot. So the... Because you can produce. So Parshas Yisro, we read the sixth parak of Yeshayahu. So Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos. So the way the Gemara describes it now for us, each Malach is saying Kadosh. So in other words, a Malach only says Shira, and here the Malach is only saying one word of Shira, and each one has to wait their turn. Makes it. Chaviv and Yisrael of Ne'akash Baruch Yosem and Malach HaSharis. Now we'll make comparisons between Bnei Yisrael and the Malachim. Sheisrael Amrim Shira Bechol Shah. We get to say Shira all the time. Right? And Shira over here doesn't necessarily, it's not, I don't think it's limited to, right, Shira Sayam. Meaning Shira means we daven, we mispalo. Or Malachi Asher is Enormim Shira La Pamachas Bayom, and they only say it one time a day. Vamilei Pamachas B'Shabbat. Some say once a week, Vamilei Pamachas B'Chodesh. Some say once a month, Vamilei Pamachas B'Shabbat. Some say once a year, Vamilei Pamachas B'Shavua. Some say once every seventh year, v'amrilei pamachas b'yovel, once every 50th year, v'amrilei pamachas ba'olam. Once, and that's it. V'yisrael mazkirin es Hashem v'achar shtei tevos. Now, we say Shem Hashem after two words, right? Shenemar, Shema Yisrael Hashem. So in other words, we're able, in our Shira, it's clear that Shira is not limited to just Shira is all davening. Shema Yisrael Hashem. Malach Hashem is maskirin Hashem alalach gimel tevos. And the Malachim only say Shira after three words. Kadosh, 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 Hashem. Dirkidichsiv, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos. Ve'em Malach Hashem is Amrim Shira Lamala, Hashem Yisrael, I'm sorry, Hashem Yisrael Lamata. And they only have license to say Shira after we say Shira. Shenemar, Buran Yachat Kochve Boker, the Hadar Vayiru called B'nei Elokim. We start off by saying Shira, and then the B'nei Elokim. Ela Achas Omeres Kadosh. I'm sorry, the Gemara is fine. So the Gemara gives a slightly different version in terms of what happens up there, because it can't be the way the Gemara just originally described it, because that third Malach, what is he saying? He's saying, Kadosh Tzvakos Hashem, and that can't be because we're the ones that have the license to say Shem Hashem after two. They have to wait till three words. So, Ela, Achas Omeres Kadosh, Achas Omeres Kadosh Kadosh, Ve'achas Omeres Kadosh Kadosh Kadosh, Hashem Tzvakos. Okay. Ve'aika Baruch, one more question and answer, and we'll finish for today. What about Baruch Kvod Hashem, which, by the way, is said by the Malachim. And that's two words. Gemara's answer is, Gemara gives two answers. Ofanim hu de amrila. The first answer of the Gemara is, that's not Malachim, that's Ofanim. Okay, higher level. Okay, do I fully understand? Of course not. But higher level. Ofanim are above Malachim. They are the actual, the Ofanim HaKodesh. They actually are the supporters of the chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, higher level. Or the second answer of the Gemara is no. Meaning, once they're given permission, so then they can go and say Shem Hashem after two words. But the first thing they have to do is they have to be granted permission. Permission in the form of first Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos. Then, after that, then they could say Shem Hashem after two words. Okay, stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. More Agadata coming up tomorrow.